Way back in 2005, two brothers set off on a road trip that would save the world and change television.
Dave and Buster?
I'm going to give it to you, Buster. For 15 seasons and 327 episodes, Supernatural took audiences on a wild ride of family, fate, and faith with a rocking soundtrack and a seriously cool car.
But that was then, Bobbo, and this is now. And yes, the show has quote-unquote ended, but we're not quite done with the journey.
No, we're not.
And that's why we're watching it all over again, or for Rob and me, for the first time.
That's right.
Diving deep into every episode of Supernatural with the fine folks who made it. And we're taking you along for the ride.
Whether you like it or not. I'm Rob Benedict. I played Chuck Shirley, a.k.a. God.
Spoiler.
Yeah, it is a bit of a spoiler, but hey, spoilers are fair game here.
Fine. And I'm Richard Spate Jr., and I played the Trickster, also known as the Archangel Gabriel. And I did a little bit of Loki work in there.
Okay, you know what? We're running out of time.
Okay, well, we'll be talking about the entire series, so whatever we say, accept it. You've been warned.
So buckle up and settle in.
Because this, my friend, is Supernatural, then and now.
Hey, everybody, I'm Rob Benedict.
And I am Richard Spate Jr.
And we're talking about Season 2, Episode 21, All Hell Breaks Loose, Part 1. What? I mean, we're down to it. It's a two-parter.
That's so weird. It just reads so weird. All Hell Breaks Loose, Part 1. But yeah, I guess it's for all the times it says to be continued, this time they really meant it.
They really meant it. Yeah. And I saw that. What a coincidence that the name of this episode is the same as the fan convention that happens in Australia.
All hell breaks loose. Now I get it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I didn't think
about it.
Yeah.
And now I'm thinking about it. And now I can't stop thinking about it. Great, Rob. Now I can't stop thinking about it. Hope you're happy.
I am happy. And I'm also, mostly happy that people are listening to our podcast. And I want to say thank you, everybody.
We love the comments we're getting. Yeah. We're getting a ton of comments on social media. And you know what? Keep it going. People sent their costume photos. We asked people to do that. They did. Got some great shots. Mm-hmm. So keep it going on Instagram and Twitter, SPN then and now. We want to hear from you. We want to see your photos. We want to hear your stories and your reviews.
All right. Are you ready, Rich?
Let's do it, buddy. Summarize it for me, Robbie.
Okay. Dean waits in the Apollo while Sam goes inside a remote roadside diner to get food. Strange noises start coming out from the radio. This alerts Dean to something. And he rushes inside to find Sam gone and everyone dead.
That's a diner you don't want to visit.
No. Did you notice the diner was like the size of a shoebox?
It was a tiny diner. Yeah.
Sam awakens in a ghost town where he sees Ava, whom we met in Hunted, and Andy, whom we met in Simon Said. Now, there are also two other gifted people there. Jake, an American soldier who's super strong, and Lily, who can kill people when she touches them.
Yeah, those are their creepy gifts from the Yellow-Eyed Demon, right? Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
What's your creepy gift?
This mustache. And yours?
Your mustache.
Yeah, exactly.
The group is confused about why they're there. Sam tries to explain that there is a demon responsible for all of it. However, the group is skeptical. They're not convinced that demons are real. Meanwhile, Dean has sought out Bobby's help, who says...
There
haven't been any recent reports about demon activity. It was a typical Jim Beaver move to have the map open and be like, there it is. That's all the things.
It was so funny. I'm like, did Jim write this?
Yeah. Ash calls and says he has something, but he can't talk about it on the phone.
Which drives me nuts. Just say it on the phone. Come on, Ash.
I know, Ash. And then he looks at a watch. Keep that in mind, that watch. That's going to come into play in about 5 minutes. Dean and Bobby show up at what used to be Harvell's. It's been burned to the ground. They find a watch next to a burnt hand. It's ashes, ashes, ashes.
Oh, my God. I mean, just watching you read that was funny, watching you put that together.
But there's no sign of Ellen. Back at the ghost town, an Archery demon attacks Jake. That's one of those creepy kids. This convinces everyone that demons are real. Lily breaks away from the team to try to escape. She's killed and hung on display as a warning to the others not to try to do the same thing.
Right.
Sam gets Andy to send Dean a psychic message. Dean tells Bobby what he saw, and Bobby recognizes it as Cold Oak, South Dakota.
Which, by the way, Bobby picked up on that, like, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
Was there a hat in a store on one of the streets? I know where you are. Like, what?
I know. He said, was there an oak tree? I know where this is. Sam's group waits in a room surrounded by salt. He dozes off. While sleeping, the yellow-eyed demon comes to him in a dream, and we learn a few things.
Sure do.
First, he killed Jessica to keep Sam from getting soft.
Bummer.
Yeah, right? Second, when Sam was a baby, the demon dripped demon blood into his mouth. And third, Mary recognized the demon in the nursery before she died. The demon further explains that the gifted children are all there to battle each other to find the strongest to lead his army. When Sam awakens, Ava is gone. Andy and Sam split up to find her. Ava comes back to the room and discreetly breaks the salt line. She uses the chance to summon the Archeri demon, which attacks and kills Andy. She screams, pretending like she's innocent.
Yeah, like she's innocent.
Yeah. Real tears, though. Sam arrives and quickly puts the clues together that Ava is responsible. She starts to summon the demon to kill Sam, but Jake arrives and snaps Ava's neck before she can do it. Sam tries to convince Jake that they should attack the yellow-eyed demon together, but Jake knows that only one of them will survive. Jake fights Sam and breaks a few of his bones before Sam is able to knock him out. Dean and Bobby arrive, and Sam is making his way toward them when Jake comes to, grabs a knife, and stabs Sam in the back. Bobby chases after Jake. Sam dies in Dean's arm. End of part one.
Wait, he dies in Dean's one arm?
Sam dies in Dean's arms.
Oh, both arms.
Part one.
Okay.
Yeah, man. A lot in there. A lot to unpack. I mean,
it's time for R and R's R. That's Robin Rich's review. Robbie?
Yeah, lots in here. I mean, to find out all those things that he found out in the dream.
That was the coolest part of the episode, right?
Yeah.
Like the flashback nature of it and like...
I've been waiting two seasons for that information. You know what I mean?
I didn't know we were going to get that information. I thought it was so cool and that Mary knew the dude.
Mary knew the dude.
Oh.
What is that about?
Also, that they drip blood into an actual baby's mouth or drip something into an actual baby's mouth. And I thought, ooh, tough day on the set.
Yeah, that was, yeah. I think that might have been visual effects.
I don't know, man. That looked like something dripped onto a baby's face.
And come to find out that Sam dies. End of series.
I know.
That's it. So We've done it. We've
guys, thank you for joining our podcast. It's been a treat. There's no more show. Such a great, you know, such a great, the flashback was great. The sort of a Christmas Carol version of going back and seeing your life. Aldous Hodge, who's a freaking movie star, you know.
Aldous
now.
Hodge. I mean, what an all-star cast. Aldous.
Dude.
You got Tigerman back, Lindbergh.
Jimmy the Bee Beaver.
Beeve. And then everybody dies. No more Lindbergh.
No more Ash ashes. I wonder if his drug stash burned. I wonder if Ash's stash are now ashes.
We've got ashes. But now, you know, Andy's dead. I wonder how long Aldous is going to stay alive.
Aldous Hodge? He's a movie star.
I know, but I wonder how long he's in Supernatural.
Oh, I don't know, man. You know, it's a great episode. It's just, again, a great episode. Hey, what was the song playing at the beginning? I forgot.
Boston. Foreplay and Long Time.
Long Time. Such a great, solid, classic Supernatural opening.
Yeah, such a great guitar tone.
It was a great episode, man. It was a great episode.
Huge. It's all been leading to this. I was not disappointed. And
no.
I can't wait to find out what happens next.
I just, one of the things I love that I have to point out, and I know I point it out all the time. So if you're sick of me pointing this out, everybody fast forward 30 seconds and you want to hear this. But Jared and Jensen are such good actors. And I tell you, you put that in the hands of your rank and file CW actor, you would not get the emotion that you get out of Jared and Jensen, who are just, they are so a cut above your rank and file, good looking dude actors. They're so good.
Yeah.
And Jensen at the end with Sam in his arm, and getting all emotional. It's just, it's a beautiful sequence, man. It's heartfelt. It's real.
Yeah.
And it's going for the heartstrings, and the score in this one is really, really great. But just great acting, man. It just, I'm consistently, even though I know those guys are great, and even though I've seen them do a bunch of great work, I've directed them and watched it in real time. I'm still baffled thinking back to this being the CW or the WB and the other crap that was on TV and how they must have just been mopping the floor with the other shows on the TV at the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mean, such good actors.
Yeah, so good. So good together.
Yeah, man. The brother connection is so intense. It's just great. And it just ends on such a strong, sad note. Anyway, I'm just going to do it, Robbie. I'm not even going to wait for you to ask. I'm going Stapleton. And I know people are tired of hearing it, but season two is just wall-to-wall excellence.
Delivering. It's really delivering. I can only give it a full logins, full 70s logins.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, it's a great episode and so many great actors in it. And you're right. Jensen and Jared really... they're driving the ship. They're capable hands. You know what I mean? It's easy to watch because, you know, they're going to handle it well as actors.
Better than most. And Freddie Lane. I mean, Frederick Lane is so good in the show. Like, he's so good in that role. And that scene with him and Jared is so good. It's so good.
Yeah, it's great. That's a great scene. I loved revisiting that moment and having Sam Smith back for that moment.
You're not kidding. It's like a greatest hits of everybody.
It really is. It really is.
Yeah.
And I really was sad to see. I was like, Chad Lindbergh, you know, you kind of thought that Harvell's was going to be this recurring place.
Yeah,
you know
I had mean? No idea that Harvell's burned.
No clue.
And I'm like, dude, this is going to be like a set for the many, many years. And then they light the thing on fire.
Yeah, and killed Ash.
And now, who did that?
I don't know.
We don't know. We don't know who lit the thing
on
fire.
No, I'm assuming we'll it's the yellow-eyed demon, but
I don't know.
And where is Joe?
I don't know, man. She and mom didn't burn in the fire, I guess.
All right. Well, I hope she comes back.
They went out for sorghum, to, you know, get more sorghum for the place. And then Ash, you know, dropped a cigarette under the mattress and Bob's your uncle. Bob's your dead uncle. All right. So we've given it the reviews. That's where we stand. Bobby, it's a bummer we don't have anybody to interview this episode.
I'm going to interrupt you there because this just in, we have a real treat. We got two people.
What?
Together. Yeah. We've got Catherine Isabel, who's Ava, who's in Hunted. And in this episode, her other TV credits include X-Files, Hannibal, Smallville, Bones, and The Order.
Woman never stops working.
Yeah. Her film credits include Ginger Snaps, Freddy vs. Jason, Carrie, and American Mary. And of course, Gabe Tigerman, Andy from Simon Says. And from this episode, returning guest who's appeared in Silicon Valley, Masters of Sex, Bosch, The Casa Grandes, and every commercial ever made.
Yeah, I will also say I had a lot of friends who listened to our podcast, all of whom said that our first episode with him was just flipping hilarious. So,
no, cool. Yeah, he's great. So, let's get into it.
Thank you both for coming on the podcast. Super awesome. We appreciate it. I'll tell you right now, it's a great episode. I mean, I know it's been a million years, but holy crap, it's good. Like, it's so well done.
I'm so glad you like it. And you guys are what? You're probably like halfway through the show now, right? You guys have been really plugging at it.
Yeah, we're almost done. We're almost done. Yeah.
F you, Gabe. Like, you know damn well we'll die doing this.
Sam dies at the end of this episode. So we're thinking, this is it, right?
That's how you end it.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, it's like news radio where they kept thinking they were going to be canceled. So they're just like, we're just going to do a big ending. Oh, there's more?
Right.
Great.
Backtrack.
Yeah.
We'll make it work.
Well, in this episode, we unfortunately, both of you die. And that's a bummer. And I did not expect that to happen so quickly. So, Catherine, let me ask you first. You know, your episode before had ended in a cliffhanger. Did you know you were coming back at some point?
I don't think so. This is going to be a lot of me going, I don't think so, and I don't remember.
Sure.
Right. It's like a deposition. She has her words like, I do not recall.
I do not recall. I think I only came in for the one episode, and then I was pleasantly surprised later when they were like, we're going to throw you in another one.
Right.
Now, Rich and I initially had different points of view on who killed Ava's fiance. Rich, do you remember what our... I feel like we argued whether or not it was Ava or whether it was like the yellow
demon. I thought they were setting it up that you did it. That's what I took from it. I thought that they were saying that you went rogue and killed your fiance.
I mean, because I actually watched it today because I was like, I need to remember anything about this. So I went back and I watched it, and it did seem to me I was buying my shit because I forgot that I was a demon. Okay. I was like, oh my God, this poor girl is so traumatized. And now he's told her fiance is dead. And then at the end of it, when I realized everything, now that you're asking me that question, maybe I killed him. Maybe I was just like, you know what? You have served your purpose. And I got to do demon shit now.
Yeah. Well, you played that so well too, that turn when you're crying over Gabe and then.
Which is acting.
That's called acting.
The problem is once I start crying, I can't stop crying. So the whole rest of the scene after I've like turned, I'm still like sniveling and trying to like get tears off my face.
No,
like, my face won't stop doing it.
It was my favorite. I mean, you did a great job in this episode, and that was one of my favorite bits. You literally like took your tears and went flick.
Oh.
And I thought it was such a great detail.
Oh, it's cold-blooded.
It was so great.
This salty discharge. Get it out of here.
Ew, feeling.
All right, now, Gabe, your episode was more open-ended. You told us the story of the casting assistant who drank too much Chardonnay and broke the news about your return.
Yeah, she was so delighted about that I was back and immediately dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, she really was excited about that. And then Kripke, while I was up in Vancouver, took me out to dinner in kind of like a, you know, that the Sopranos thing where like once they kill you off the show, they have a big Italian dinner, except it was just me and Kripke at the Sutton place.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, sorry, but it seemed like a really funny idea to kill you.
Yeah.
I guess there was a writer, I guess because they'll get, you know, certain, I don't always know how every writer's room works, but I guess a writer was sitting down with like the notes of like what's supposed to happen, the different beats. And she came back into the room where Kripke was working. He's like, not Andy. No, let's not. Can we, is there any way? He's like, no, you got to set him up and then knock him down. So the bottom line is Kripke is a monster.
Kripke is the biggest monster in the whole series. Eric Kripke, yeah. For sure.
Oh, repeated. Yeah.
Killed me as well, Gabe. Right? I'm with you. You know, son of a bitch.
For me, it turned out I was him. So I guess I was kind of the one doing the killing.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is that answered a lot of questions.
Thanks. Yeah.
Thanks.
So you didn't know you were going to come back. Gabe, you kind of knew, right?
No. Not really? At all.
But I felt like they floated you out there as like we'll see. Like your story, well, both of you guys kind of were left in this sort of definitely we could come back kind of way.
Yeah, there was some fingers crossed feelings about it for me. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I think that's where they like to leave actors in just this sort of floating nothingness.
Broken limbo. Again.
Yeah. Or will we just kill off your character in one line and you're not?
Yeah, you'll never know. Yeah.
Yeah, we often talk about that all those scripts ended with to be continued. And when I did my first episode, I was like, ooh, wow, you know, coming back.
Will
and
that I turns be out every,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's such a mind F. And like, I don't even know if they realize that. I had the same thing. I got my script. I'm like, hey, sweetie, it says to be continued. Mm-hmm. Daddy's going to be working a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Nah.
Let's start spending that cheese.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's what you call
go
it, right?
Ahead.
You call it cheese?
Yeah. Well, it's literally cheese.
Yep.
You guys had a cool scene together that we were talking about, the emotion and killing the character of Andy.
By the way, I'm always so impressed with actors who are just like, boom, access that, tears.
Tears.
I just remember looking at you and just being like, oh, shit.
Okay. I was a child actor.
Yes. That's what I remember looking at me like, oh, yeah, I get it.
A lot of useless talents, like crying.
It comes that in handy.
That is great. Let me tell you, access of emotions. Did you?
Oh, no, there's no emotions involved.
No.
Absolutely none.
A physical reaction.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you guys, do you remember, this is, maybe you won't, but do you remember where in the order of days you shot this? Like, did you know each other at this point for that scene, for the death scene, Gabe? Do you know when you shot it?
Oh, I have no idea.
Deep into the schedule or right at the front or do you remember?
I feel like it was midway. I think it was
like we kind of, once we got into Border Town, we kind of went...
It was pretty chronological.
Yeah, we didn't, I don't remember really skipping back and forth. And we went in chronological order, more or less, you know?
That was cool.
Yeah.
Now, Catherine, since you live in Vancouver, at the end of the day, would you go home?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No, she'd stay in the Western town.
Well, I was going to ask, did you guys as a group bond at all? All of the people that were in that world?
I mean, I think on set, generally, we did such long hours. We're out there and like up to our knees in mud in Border Town in the pissing rain. It's like as soon as they're wrapped, you're like, goodbye.
Yeah.
Reach out of there. Like, see you later.
Yeah.
Right.
We weren't really like making plans to go party at the Sutton later. We just needed to go home and like shower.
So I won't find any of your drugs on this mirror.
Definitely not. Yeah, not in that room anyway.
Not that mirror.
No, different mirror. I remember we had a little bit of time off where I think it was St. Patrick's Day. And Jared took us out on the town, the people who were staying at the Sutton. Aldous Hodge got drunk for the first time.
Oh, my God.
Like, here we go. That was it was Jared's mission to get him drunk for the first time in his life.
That's
good to have goals. Yeah. Good to have goals.
Because he was 20. He was like 20, right?
He looks like a baby.
He's from a child.
And so I don't think he was really able to drink. Like, we got home to Canada, we're like, here.
Yeah.
Wow. That's what we like to do to American youth.
Right.
And now he's a big movie star.
I was gonna say, it's a shame he hasn't worked much since then.
I watched the episode and I was like, this guy's really good. I was like, who is this guy?
Someone should give him several jobs later.
Yeah. Just hold that thought. We're coming right back.
You can sense it calling out to you.
New reality seeks you.
Join the journey to save Anomaly.
Place where sound is magic. The only way to enter the world is by looking inward.
Along the way, you'll learn potions, chants, and enchantments that will help you both in that reality and yours.
So, answer the call and let your campaign begin.
Featuring the voices of Ruth Connell from Supernatural and Dead Boy Detectives.
There are ordeals ahead, yet with guidance, you will face them head on without fear.
Todd Stashwick from Star Trek Picard and 12 Monkeys.
When the time arrives, wherever your journey takes you, be there with no attachments.
And R&B singer N.C. Gray.
There are worlds, realms, dimensions, and realities beyond yours.
Anomaly is a role-playing meditation podcast that takes you into a world of magic and fantasy. You'll be invited to imagine yourself in scenarios such as learning to cast a tranquility spell or exploring a land vanquished by a dragon, but all connected by a shared mythology. The goal of guided fantasy role-playing meditations are to help you cultivate a sense of wonder, curiosity, balance, and joy in your inner world. Role-playing meditation is a form of escapism and relaxation, as well as a creative outlet for the imagination. The first campaign is an introduction to the world of Anomaly, its lands, magic, and secrets. In the 8 chapters, you'll stretch your imagination, learn to center yourself, offer forgiveness, find confidence, relieve stress, and stop racing thoughts. Your true self will emerge, allowing you to manage your goals and dreams without confusion, distrust, or self-doubt. You can find it on Spotify, Apple, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Or visit seekanomaly.com to learn more. Anomaly spelled with an I-E, not a Y.
Seek Anomaly. Hear its magic.
And we're back. Speaking of the mud, we heard it rained like almost every day.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was cold.
Well, at least it looked the same. You know, that's good.
Totally.
Visually.
And it was the first time I ever encountered hand warmers. I was introduced to those. Oh, it's an amazing invention.
Wow.
You can edit that part out because it's so boring.
No, it's not. We're going to edit out the other stuff, but we're keeping that.
Those keep me alive. I actually go and I go to London Drugs and I buy Thermacare, which are for like arthritic seniors.
Yes.
They're hot shots, but they're the whole body wrap. You can get like the ones you go around your kidneys. And so I'll just put like $50-$75 of Thermacare on me a day. Because, and this is what I learned from shooting and being like the hot slutty girl in, you know, 2000s era TV and film, was like, I'm going to be dressed in hardly anything and literally freezing to death. And it's hard to be a dead slutty corpse when you're shaking in pre-hypothermia.
Same.
And I would just, like, those things have saved my life. And I can't believe that was your first time.
Well, wow. I don't have as many of the slutty parts. I try, and they seldom cast.
One day, baby. One day.
Thank you.
You made Rob knock over his microphone.
I know, I really did.
Soon he said slutty parts. He started to become a dead, sweaty corpse. So, did you guys see Jensen at all? Like, did you ever? Because
no.
Jensen's not in your episode. No.
Right? Wow, really?
No.
No, he was in the first episode I did brief, but we never, our characters never cross paths.
Okay.
Yeah.
Catherine, you belt out a couple of screams in this episode, but one really that's very impressive. Is that something you knew how to do coming in, or did you?
Are you a scream queen?
Yeah, I could scream. Yeah. What's funny is I can't really scream at a high register anymore. A few years before Supernatural, I contracted hantavirus, which is a pulmonary virological, like a virus with a 30 to 40% death rate.
Holy
wow.
And I was intubated on a ventilator for 9 days in ICU and in the hospital for like, I think a month.
Oh dear.
And so when that apparatus is removed from your throat, bits, mm-hmm. like your throat kind of goes with it, and it severely damaged my vocal cords. And steadily since then, my upper register has been decreased.
Mm.
So, yeah. So
gosh.
My screams now are like, oh! Not so high. They're more like,
which still works.
Yeah. But so did you do a lot of screaming? Because you mentioned doing horror conventions and that kind of thing. Had you done a lot of screaming in the Freddy versus Jason stuff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was playing Hot Girl in the late 90s and 2000s. There was a lot of screaming and running.
A lot of crying and screaming.
A lot of crying and screaming and running.
Yeah.
Your two sweet spots.
Yeah.
Same.
That's awesome.
So I don't know if you know this, but both of you in your first episodes worked with first-time Supernatural directors.
Oh.
But in this episode, you work with Bob Singer. Do you remember the difference between the two in terms of working with Bob, how Bob might have been different as executive producer of the show?
I remember.
You just said, yes, sir, more? Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
A lot more deference.
Yeah.
I don't know. You mentioned that. I had a flashback of Bob was, we were on set and he was looking for some quote of some kind. He was reaching for some quote and he couldn't find it. And I remember going home back to the hotel and looking it up and being like, oh, that's who it is. And I looked on the call sheet. I was like, there's his email. I'll just throw him off. Like, hey, it's from, Tolstoy or somebody. And he just writes back, don't ever email me here.
No.
I assumed he was joking, but we also weren't close enough for me to know.
I don't know. Bob
that's
got to
be a joke.
Bob has a way and be like, I never checked this email. I've emailed him before and have him be like, don't email me. I don't check this email. It could be that.
No, this was like stay in your lane, kid.
Oh my god!
But I think in a joke, I never knew for sure.
That is so funny.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Oh man.
Yeah, man. That's hilarious.
Dave, you get to do some fun stuff in this one. You get some kind of nutty monologues.
Oh yes. Oh yeah. The gay porn monologue.
Yeah.
That holds up well.
Yeah, we said like probably wouldn't make that one today, but
that was the one part of the script where I remember reading it and having been introduced to fan/slash fiction stuff. I remember reading that and being like, well, there you go. Here's a little gift for you.
Oh, right. True. But yeah, it's just funny. Sarah Gamble, who wrote it, originally had the idea from The Breakfast Club.
Oh.
This idea of like all of you sort of with a different sort of attitude coming together, being trapped together in this place,
That's so cute. I can see that now.
Right?
Yeah, it's like Hunger Games / Breakfast Club.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I see that, yeah.
Here's a weird detail question. Did you have your earrings were on the opposite ears in the episode?
Yeah, I thought that I nailed it right, and I've heard that I totally screwed up.
So that's just a Gabe screw up.
Yep, 100%.
Okay, so you're right.
That's why Bob was mad.
Continuity.
Yeah.
We had a discussion about it because I thought, ooh, that was like a signal from the writer that he was going to die or something like that. You know, like
or Gabe was just being obtuse.
Yeah. Like McCartney having his shoes off on the Abbey Road album. You know what I mean?
Everybody thought Rob, it was like Rob doing that thing with his mustache.
What?
He's not allowed to do it, but when he does it, it's really weird.
What do we do?
Nothing.
What
he's
do you
being,
do?
He's being weird.
I love it.
But yeah, anyway, so it was, Rich was like, no, I think that was just a Gabe screw up.
Well, I appreciate
No,
Rob.
I think it was a Gabe, I thought it would be a wardrobe, and wardrobe would have messed it up, right? Are those your personal earrings or wardrobe?
No, it's all wardrobe. They gave me, it's funny, it's the only time this ever happened where they, other than giving you the choices of socks, where they gave you choices like, here's 12 kimonos and here's a bunch of jewelry. What do you think Andy would wear? And I'd actually never seen an ear cuff, I guess is what they're called.
Yeah.
I'm like, those seem great.
Yeah.
So I'll try that and I'll go with the green kimono.
Yeah, all right.
But I appreciate Rob. I appreciate that you gave me the benefit of the doubt.
I'm disappointed that I was wrong.
I know. I'm sorry.
But hey. Catherine, I hope that you at some point do one of our Supernatural conventions because they're fun.
Totally.
And I think you should.
You're so good in the episode too, man. Both of your episodes are great, but this one really shines a light on your skill set in a grand way. That turn you make is really solid.
Truly.
It's just so well done.
Thank you. Yeah, it was really fun to rewatch. Like, because I don't know if I ever saw the episode. Like, that was back, it aired it before we had, you know, streaming services and
right.
Oh.
And DVRs and stuff. Years. So I probably only saw like whatever, maybe I did an ADR and then never really saw the episode.
Oh, wow.
It was so fun to go back and watch and be like, oh my God, I kind of remember this.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, no, it was great. And, you know, both of you, you strike such a chord in your first episodes. You really like make your mark. And so it was cool to see you then come back and sort of finish your arc. I just gone too soon for my taste.
Thank you. Soon. Thank you, Rob. I know Richard's silent about that.
Well, gone just soon enough was what I was going to say. Right? But yeah, or maybe too soon.
I remembered something. Sorry to interrupt you. I remember.
Yeah, please.
I almost didn't make it to day one of the shooting. They had to smuggle me across the border in a car. Maybe this is why Bob was testy.
Do you have a felony on your record?
No, I had a layover in. I was flying from Austin from the South by Southwest Film Festival with a layover in San Francisco. I land in San Francisco and I have a phone call, a voicemail waiting for me because my passport had fallen out of my pocket back in Austin, and they were not going to let me into a whole new country without a passport. And then they were like, we're putting on the next flight. Don't worry. And then that flight kept getting delayed and delayed and delayed. Finally, the flight got canceled from Austin. And my little passport's just sitting there. And they fly me to Seattle. And then they send a PA in a car across the border because they're like, pretty decent chance they won't check your passport on the drive back.
Drive,
and
yeah.
So just like, fingers crossed, as you're driving back, just look unassuming, which is kind
look
of my
Canadian.
Yeah, it looks super polite, which is kind of that's kind of my lane. So
it's true.
Yeah, oh my God. Yeah.
And so they didn't check.
I love that they sent a PA.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Traffic you across the border.
Oh my
to
God.
To execute a federal crime for two different countries.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
Pretty oh my great. God, that's crazy. What a crazy
You can
story.
Do this, Carl. okay, sir. But isn't it a crime?
Yes,
what, who can say what's a crime
yes, Mr.
these
Singer?
Days?
Can I email you, Mr. Singer?
No.
No, you may not.
My heart rate was very high as we hit the border.
Dude, I can't imagine. I can't imagine.
So now, Catherine, this is a random question that is really not interesting at all, except for to Rob and myself. But Rob's in Toronto, and I'm in Vancouver. How do you watch
Supernatural?
Supernatural here. We had a hard time finding it in Canada, like on the streamer services.
I have ways.
Oh.
That's it.
Also
breaking
laws.
Federal crimes.
Wow. Laws.
Wow. I'm glad we went from federal crime to federal crime. All right. Well, there you go. So it's not us, Rob. It's still okay, tough. Yeah. It's still challenging.
Is it not on Canadian Netflix?
It's not on Canadian Netflix.
It is not.
And you can't get it. It says it's on Prime, but we couldn't get it on Prime. So we had to do this. We found that Rich found an app. Yeah.
I also have my ways, Catherine.
Was that the question that I interrupted, or do you remember your question that I interrupted?
I don't remember. Your runaway from the federales is way more interesting than
yeah.
that. Yeah. So you're technically, oh my God, Gabe's still on the lam.
Oh,
like
that,
that's an unresolved crime.
Ooh, here's an open case. It's an open case.
I hope the gendarme is watching.
Oh, no. That was a French accent. Did you hear that?
That was a great French
good.
Accent.
I know.
Gabe. I didn't
I
realize that you were.
We had to say it was a French accent for any French people who might be listening. They wouldn't recognize
They're
it.
Like, no? What does that mean? Non?
Je ne sais pas that accent. Ladies and gentlemen, what a treat to have you both on here. It's a great episode. Both of your episodes individually were great. This is a great culmination of the work and the you know, penultimate episode in season two. It's a great show, and you guys are great in it. I mean, truly, this is not like perfunctory guest star work where you're kind of a prop. You guys really crush it, and your scene together is just fantastic. It's great, the whole thing.
100%.
Thank you. I was only emotionally traumatized once.
Wait, how?
Hmm. Oh, so in the previous episode, I believe it was episode 10, there's a scene where Sam and I are walking to my vehicle, which is a vintage blue Volkswagen Beetle, and we get onto set and we do the blocking, we do everything. And they're like, okay, we're ready to roll. Katie, we're going to need you to drive out in this scene. You can drive standard, right?
Every actor's nightmare.
And I went, no. And they said, okay, hold the roll. And they're going to teach her how to drive standard right now. And I'm like, oh, in front of the whole crew and the vintage bug. This is going to be great. Thank you so much. And so they let me have like one tour around the parking lot. And then they're like, okay, let's roll. And I'm like, no, I could kill this man who's very important to this show. Don't give me this responsibility. And so in this scene, I say like, okay, like, let me know if you find your brother. And I put it into gear and I shot forward and my head slammed against a backrest. And I like immediately was at the other end of the parking lot and didn't even know like how to stop it.
Oh my God.
And so I watched that episode today because I was like, all I remember from shooting Supernatural was that I had to learn how to drive standard in front of the whole crew in 5 minutes. And that traumatized me. And so I went back and I looked and they cut before they do not show.
Oh, funny.
Because I only did it once. It was like, right. And so they like, just
good enough.
Yeah, they cut on Sam's face, and then they don't.
So for people who want to go back and watch that, that's from The Hunted, right? Your first episode,
episode 10, I think.
Okay.
Good trivia. Good stuff, guys.
Great stuff.
I went to look, and good I was trivia. Like, oh God, there's no way they could have put that like drive out. Like they and so no, they were smart.
Wow. Well, thankfully there was no driving in this episode.
Thank God.
No driving. No,
except for both of your talents driving the story.
Nice
segue.
By the way, can I one last thing before we wrap?
Please.
Just putting in our last little tidbits. One of my favorite/least favorite things about this episode is somebody pulled a clip, like a screenshot of me and Jared walking together in kind of a wide shot. And it's like we're not even the same species. Like from this angle, I would place us at like he is literally two times my height. It is one of the most upsetting things I've ever seen.
Yeah,
and it pops up every now and then on Twitter.
Like one of those tales of the modern man. You're like the second to Jared.
He's definitely the pinnacle of evolution. And I'm either like on my way there or like a downside. Like we've just been in cubicles for too long.
You still have scales. You know, you're and a little bit of a tail.
I've got gills. There's little gills visible on the throat.
Not even a caveman yet.
Nope.
Thank you both for being here. Wow. And I hope to see you both on the road doing our conventions.
Absolutely.
But this is a great episode of the podcast and a great episode of TV.
Cheers.
Good to see you, Catherine.
Bye, you too.
All right. Bye, guys.
This is Jared Padalecki stopping in to say hi and let you know that we've got to take a quick break.
Hey, it's Richard Speight, and I got a question for you. Why are so many dogs suffering with health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the frickin' planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And hey, all of this sounds fantastic, but the proof is in the pudding. And what I mean is, do the dogs like it? Well, I can speak for my own dog, Luna. She freaking loves it. And that's saying something, because she's no vacuum cleaner, you know. I've seen dogs eat a sofa, but not Luna. Luna is very persnickety, very high maintenance, especially when it comes to what she eats. And Luna went crazy for this food, and I'm loving what it's doing for her. She's got great energy, she looks fantastic, and I'm assuming she feels great. She usually just says, arf. But I'm going to interpret that as, you know what, Rich? Feeling pretty good. So how do you get this fantastic food for your dog? Go to badlands.com/SPN10 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsfood.com/SPNTAN today.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Thank you for supporting Supernatural then and now. And now, back to the show.
What an interview. And I know we always say that, but truly.
It was great. That was great.
We learned literally some tidbits. We learned some tidbits.
A lot of tidbits.
Tidbits about them, like the sneaking Gabe across the border and her not being able to drive a car. I love that kind of trivia. It's good stuff.
Great tidbits. I'm glad they came prepared. But aside from that, you know, I'd never met her before. She's great. And Gabe, we love Gabe. And their characters are very similar journeys. So it was nice to get them together.
Great duo. I mean, we had two people together in an interview, and that can go one of two ways. And it went the good way. They were great together.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes me think they probably had fun working together, is my guess.
Yeah. I think they really enjoyed each other. And And I wish there was a world we could get the entire crew back, but in our minds.
That was a great cast and just a great episode and great interview. Thank you for doing that interview, kids. And now, you know what it's time for, Robbie? Do you know? Do you?
I don't know.
Look at your burnt ash watch. You'll see. It's time for Mythology.
Mythology. Like little baby Sam, you too can drink Demon's Blood. Demon's Blood, the recipe is one shot of peppermint schnapps, one shot of 151 proof rum, 6 ounces of Mountain Dew, and 2 ounces of cherry Kool-Aid.
So just so you know, everybody, the effects team was committing a felony by forcing booze on an infant when they shot that scene, because that's exactly what they fed the baby.
So you're telling me if I go into a bar and I go, I'll have a shot of Demon's Blood, that's what they'll get, that's what they'll make me?
151 rum, that is not for the weak of heart.
No.
And Mountain Dew, none of this sounds all that good. I'm going to say right now.
No, not at
all.
I
do not want this drink.
Well, it's Demon's Blood. You don't want Demon's Blood either.
Well, good point.
Our cherry demons. In some tribes of indigenous people of North America, there is lore of the spirit of a little girl who died a sickly death. She is now a vengeful spirit who lives in the hills and mountainsides. At night, she comes down from the hills or mountainsides and spreads death and diseases.
And then she returns to the hills or mountainsides.
She wants to make other children suffer as she did. Oh, that's not nice. Talk about passive aggressive.
Yeah.
While typically disguising herself as a frail girl, she can also appear with a skeletal frame, large red eyes, and long claw-like fingers.
I hate to tell this to the little girl, but even when she's like a little girl, she's still scary as crap. It's not like she's like, oh, yeah. It's still a really creepy, scary little girl. And then she just gets creepier and scarier.
Yeah.
Did you know that the Hindus and the Japanese have similar legends? In Japan, this spirit lore was the inspiration for The Grudge.
Oh, I didn't know there was that was related.
Yeah, and one of the key differences is the Hindus and Japanese, they have the similar legend, only their legends live in mountainsides or hills.
Ah, okay.
So traversed.
And how are they with bow and arrow?
Oh, they're demons. I mean, they are archery demons, these people.
Well, fire up the 151 proof rum.
And bring on the Mountain Dew. Here we go. Fun fact. Robbie, you ready for some fun facts?
Sarah Gamble, the writer of this episode, has said that The Breakfast Club was her inspiration for the script. That's so funny. I literally thought that. I literally had, yeah, I was like, wow, this is like the Breakfast Club for like hunters or something. I don't know. I literally, the Breakfast Club came in my head I was watching, because they're all like, they've all got a different vibe. You know, I used to write notes. Yeah. I was going to write down Breakfast Club because they've all got a different vibe. And there's definitely, you know, the girl who dies, who gets hung. I'm not like you guys. You don't know me. She was very right. Breakfast Club-y. There is a statue of a monkey in the Burnt Harvilles rubble at around 1620.
At 4:20 in the afternoon?
No. 16 minutes and 20 seconds into the episode.
Oh, cool.
Jerry Wanick, production designer, didn't like it as set dressing when they first built Harvilles. However, the set decorator, George Newman, convinced him to keep it. When a number of directors came and shot the Harvilles set, they always started on the monkey. Bob thought it was important enough to give it a moment here.
George Newman, by the way, is a great guy and also has a son named Frank. We always bond over the fact that both of us have sons named Frank. Only his Frank is really good at tennis.
Oh, funny.
Yeah.
I feel like I did remember the monkey being shot.
I need to go back and see the, I guess I have to wait till tomorrow at 4:20, but then I can watch and see the monkey because I didn't notice the monkey.
And when, of course, when we say Bob thought it was important enough to give it a moment here, we're talking about Bob Singer, who directed the episode.
Correct. The Ghost Town set for the episode was originally built for the 1989 series Border Town that ran on No One F***ing Knows Network because no one's f***ing heard of it. What the hell is the Border Town?
I don't know, but I was wondering where in Vancouver that set is because it was like such a ghost town set.
Yeah,
I don't remember ever seeing that.
Neither do I. And now we can't say that because we've seen episode 21 of season 2, part 1, All Hell Breaks Loose.
What's that?
I said, now we can't say we haven't seen the set. We've seen the set now.
Right. Here's another thing we didn't mention, that the Vancouver rain plays a big part.
Oh, dude.
In this episode.
There's one scene where they're like all on the porch, and you're like, yeah, I know why Bob kept them on the porch, because it's a deluge.
Pouring rain.
Right behind them.
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait for the next episode, man. I mean, I'm on pins and needles. This is not a bit. We haven't seen it yet, so we're super excited to get part 2, the season finale for season 2, under our belt and on this podcast ASAP, because this is just good TV, man.
Yeah, I mean, if it's anything as informative and exciting and suspenseful as this one was, then I can't even wait.
Dude.
This episode of Supernatural features Jared Padalecki as Sam Winchester and Jensen Ackles as Dean Winchester.
Guest stars include Jim Beaver, Frederick Lane, Samantha Smith, Chad Lindberg, Aldous Hodge, Jessica Harmon, Gabriel Tigerman, and Catherine Isabel.
I mean, all-star. All-star Dude, cast.
Seriously.
All Hell Breaks Loose Part 1 was written by Sarah Gamble and directed by Robert Singer.
There's another all-star duo.
Yeah.
Sarah Gamble and Bob Singer. I mean, this Gamble is just and the Singer. Greatest hits from start to finish.
Yeah.
Editing by Tom McQuaid, who's also a detective. Music by Jay Greska.
McQuaid and Greska. I mean, when, you know, those two working together again.
This week on McQuaid and Greska.
Executive produced by Eric Kripke and Robert Singer.
Those two guys. I mean,
once again, you got a Kripke Singer.
Better than Kripke and Singer? Oh my God.
Not since Gamble and Singer.
The original broadcast of this episode featured the following songs: Foreplay/Longtime by the boys from Beantown, Boston.
Wrapping Around Your Finger by APM.
Opening by Darker My Love.
This episode originally aired on May 10th, 2007.
May 10th, 2007? I mean, the greatest hits just keep coming. This episode of Supernatural Then and Now was hosted and executive produced by Richard Spade Jr. and Rob Benedict.
Produced by Stephen Hine. Written by Stephen Hine and Hine Holscher.
Edited and associate produced by Trey Booty.
What's up, Booty?
Music provided by Tim Wynn.
The episode was recorded with the help of Sonic Fuel Studios.
This podcast is from Story Mill Media.
Follow the podcast on Instagram and Twitter at SPN Then and Now.
Here's some trivia. Rob's in Toronto and I'm in Vancouver. This show was done in Canada.
Become a member of the podcast at www.patreon.com/SPN Then and Now.
Crying. I think Steve, I see Steve, I can read, Steve's a very, very stoic man, but every now and then I do see a look that flashes across his face, which says, why didn't I get different people to host this podcast? The Ghost Town set for the episode was originally, blah, 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 blah. What if he found the ashes of Ash's bottom? And he was like, hey, they find Ash's ashes.
What if Ash had your mustache? And they'd find Ash's mustache ashes.
And then what if my mustache grew on his ass? And he was like, oh, they found Ash's stash. Ass mustache ashes.
Ash's stash ashes ass. All right. Back at the ghost town, an archery demon attacks Jake. Now, that's the...
A what?
Archery. It's an archery demon. He's really good with arrows.
Oh, man. All the creepy arrows in his haunted quiver.
How do you really say it? Archery?
Story Mill Media.